tonight. I wonder if they went to church this morning. And if they did go to church this morning, what did they hear? Just what did they hear? Did God accept their worship if they did even worship Him? How can we reach these masses? How can we affect these people and reach out to them with God's saving grace, with His wonderful message of life? How can we share the gospel with these people? And this is something that plagues me, has tormented me all of my Christian life. And I still don't know the answer. So many programs and ideas and suggestions have been made through the years. How can we reach these masses? And there have been radio and TV ministries. There's the printed page. There are missionaries that travel here and there and try to plant the church and plant works and get it going. And there's so many efforts are being made. And yet so many still do not know and still have not obeyed. And they are lost, brethren. They are lost. Unfortunately, many people don't realize they're lost. Many people seem to think that, you know, they have the right to expect God to save them. How many of you have seen on television news cameras at the point of an arrest and some man in handcuffs is screaming, "I know my rights! I know my rights!" And he, as the police are leading him away into custody to face the criminal justice system because of crimes that he has supposedly committed. The Constitution of the United States of America guarantees certain rights to every citizen. These same rights are not given to non-citizens. They're not given to visitors. They're not given to those that come into this country legally or illegally. Those rights are reserved for citizens of this country. There was a few years ago a campaign that was called Know Your Rights. And it was an effort to try to get the Constitution and the Bill of Rights into the hands of as many people as possible in this country. A noble aspiration at best. And we do need to know our rights as citizens of this great nation. But citizens of God's kingdom need to know their rights too. We all know we have responsibilities, but we also need to know what our rights are, what the promises that God has made to us are. And this obviously is so much more important than our national rights. And you know, you may lose spiritual blessings that God has reserved for you if you don't know your rights and if you don't claim those rights. We need to know the blessings and the benefits of being in Christ. And I have to start, and I will end tonight with this same point. These blessings, these rights, are for those that are citizens of the kingdom of God. If a person is not a citizen of the kingdom of God, these are not theirs. They don't have these rights. And these rights are found only in Christ. Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Contrary to what many will teach and what many more will believe, baptism is the point of admission into the kingdom of God. It is the point at which the blood of Jesus washes sins away and one is added to the church. And these rites are found only in Christ. Now, one good thing that needs to be stressed is that these rights are the same for sons and daughters. They have equal rights between both male and female, and that's made possible by the blood of Christ. "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the sins of, or shed for many for the remission of sins." Matthew 26 and verse 28. And I love the statement made in 1 Peter 1, verses 17 through 19, but we're going to look just at verse 18 and 19. "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ." This is how we were redeemed, and this is how we have access to the kingdom of God. These rights are found in Christ. Brethren, let me stress to you, you have the right to expect remission of sins. Did you know that? You have the right to expect that. When God tells you He will forgive, you have the right to expect God to keep His promise. He will forgive. You will receive remission of sins. It starts off when you become a child of God. Acts 2:38, on the day of Pentecost, Peter tells these people in response to their question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? We've killed the Son of God. What shall we do?" He said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So we are given the remission of sins when we come into Christ. It is a continual thing, as we've talked recently, the promise that John made in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, where he says, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth." Henry and I like to talk about that ETH. He was talking about that with somebody just this last week. Cleanseth us from all sin. Continual cleansing. It's an ongoing thing. You have the right to expect the remission of sins ongoing. Ongoing! The blood of Jesus will continue to cleanse you of the sins that you commit. Now, obviously, those who are in Christ do not commit sin. We're not in the practice of sinning. That's not our normal way of life. It's an exception to the rule when we mess up. A moment of weakness, or maybe even ignorance, where we don't even realize that we're doing something wrong. But when it comes to our attention, we fix it, because we do not continue in sin. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? No, the walking in the light has to do with a submission to God, a commitment to doing His will. And as long as you do that, you have the promise, you have the right of the continued forgiveness of sins. And this is not just to those of us in this room, it's to anyone who's willing. Jesus said in in Acts 10 verse 43, Peter says, "To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." It is a promise to anyone. "Whosoever will, let him come take the water of life freely," is what Jesus said. And so we have the right to expect God to forgive us of our sins. It's not something we demand. It's not something we shake our fist at God and say, "Forgive us. You said you would. You've got to." But in humble submission to Him, we can expect God to keep His word. We have the right to forgiveness of sins. We have the right to the blessings of God. Ephesians 1 and 3 says that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. This is a beautiful promise. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." This is the promise that God has made us, that we will be holy and without blame before Him. And it's done in love. "Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." This promise is made to all of God's faithful followers. You have the right to spiritual blessings because you are in Christ. And so God will bless you spiritually. He will provide for your needs, your spiritual needs. But we also have the promise that as long as we will put God first and put Him first in all things, seek Him and His kingdom first, that God will provide for us all of our physical needs as well, the food, the clothing, the shelter. So we have some amazing promises from God. We also have a right to expect a reward. Now, I've struggled with this somewhat. I'm sure some of you have. We think about all that Jesus did for us, how He died for us. He lived perfectly and then died for us. And how God is making so many wonderful efforts, amazing sacrificial efforts to save us from our sins. Why, that should be enough. But no, God says, "I want to give you a reward." Jesus told the disciples when they said, Lord, we have forsaken everything to follow you. And Jesus said to them, no man has forsaken home or family, possessions. No man has forsaken anything but what it shall be restored to him 100-fold in this life and in the world to come, eternal life. Yeah, God knows that we need a reward. We need heaven as our home, and he has promised that reward. In Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Revelation 22, verse 14, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into that city. We have the right to a reward. We have the right of access to the Father. Now, how many of you have ever seen the president of it at any point? Not this president, or even, but met or got to see one of the presidents live. I mean, just show of hands. Let's just see. I just want to know. You've seen the president live. You've seen it at some point in your life. Everybody on this side. Nobody over here. Wow. Oh, okay. I missed Melvis. Must not have been a real good president that you saw. Hey, because he didn't raise his hand very high. Just kind of, all right. Well, you know, that's quite an honor. Can you just go in and go to the White House and just walk in and say hello? Can you do that? It's kind of hard to do, isn't it? Kind of hard to get an audience. Now, I did see W drive by in front of the church building several years ago. He was coming from the nuclear plant. And so, and of course, as he called it, the nuclear, bless his heart. But anyway, he's coming back from down there and he's driving right in front of the church building. I remember Mama standing out there holding a sign saying, we love you, W. And he waved at my mama. That was so cool. But I got to see that rascal, you know? That was amazing. But there's no way I could go up to the White House and go in and say, you know, Mr. President, I'd like to sit down and share with you some thoughts I have about running this country. I'm sorry, you don't have that kind of access, do you? You just don't. But you have access to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You have access to the Creator of the universe 24/7. Is that not amazing? If you'll stop and think about that, it should give you a kind of a chill bump. Think about that. God is ready to receive you and listen to your requests day or night, anytime. That is amazing access. You have right to that kind of access. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. This is not arrogantly. This is not just arbitrarily. This is not presumptuously. But rather, we come boldly with permission. Do not hesitate. Don't be hesitant. Don't be skittish about it. But come boldly to the throne of grace, because you're doing it with God's permission. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, we have a mediator. We have someone there right now who's speaking on our behalf. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all. So we have access to the Father. What an amazing right that God has given to us. But this right is not given to all mankind. This right is only given to God's chosen people, to God's saved people, to his church, his kingdom, the body of Christ, to a child of God. A couple of other things. We have the right to assurance, confidence, hope. We have the right to this. In 1 John 5:13, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You already believe, but that belief will even be greater if you have confidence that heaven's going to be your home, that you may know that you have eternal life. That is an amazing promise. Assurance of our salvation. In John 20, verse 30 and 31, beautiful words that John wrote as an epilogue to his wonderful gospel. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name, assurance and hope, confidence that God is going to take us to heaven one day, as long as we won't give up, as long as we keep trying. We have that right. And finally tonight, we have the right to eternal life. The right to eternal life. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. He gave us right, the right to become children of God. In John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. We have some amazing rights. These are just a few. These are just a few of the rights that we have in Jesus Christ. But let me just put it this way, and I stress this at the beginning, I stress it at the end. These rights are found only in Christ Jesus. If Paul said that in Ephesians 1 verse 3 that all spiritual blessings are in Christ, that means that there are no spiritual blessings outside of Christ. If you're outside of Christ, there's no access to the Father. There's no assurance of eternal life. There is no promise of eternal life. There is no forgiveness of sins. There is no redemption. There is no security. There is no salvation. You have no rights at all if you are not in Christ. It refers, talking about being in Christ, inside Christ. We have been, this is the position we're in. This is the relationship that we have with God. You see, we've been called out of the world. Colossians 1, 13 through 15. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. We have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And it's baptism that puts us into Christ, as we've already quoted from Galatians 3, verse 27. In 1 Peter 3, 21, it says there is also an antitype, or the like figure, the King James says, which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So this idea of being in Christ goes right back to what Jesus said in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus, that a man must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. He needs to be born of water and the Spirit to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Brethren, all this means is to be in Christ is the same thing as being in his church. Colossians 1:18, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. And Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 says that God has put all things under Christ's feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. As a Christian, you have rights. You are citizens of the kingdom of God. Because you have submitted yourself to the will of God and have obeyed his gospel, you have been born again of water and the Spirit. You have been placed into the kingdom of God's dear Son. As such, you are added to the church by God himself. So, as a Christian, you have been given some rights, some amazing rights. So study your Bible. Learn what those rights are. Claim them for your life and live your life in such a way that you do not lose those rights, that you do not allow those rights to be taken away from you. If you are a child of God and you do not follow God faithfully, then you can lose those rights. You can lose those blessings. Those promises can be taken away from you because of your own sin, because of your own stubbornness. So let us all commit ourselves to being submissive to God in all things and obedient to him in all things. Be faithful to him in all things. Now, If we were talking about the lost people of the world, folks that have no interest in going to church, no interest in things religious, here's the problem. Sinners need to obey the gospel. They need to obey the Lord by obeying His gospel so that they can have access to this kingdom, so that they can become citizens of God's kingdom. And so our mission is to try to influence people and help people to see what they need to do. Not only do we live an example before them of these unique people, peculiar people, set aside for God's own use, we live that kind of example before them so they can see there's something different about us. But it also, that whole point of doing that is so that an opportunity can be created where we can open the scriptures and show them the way of the Lord more perfectly, so that we might help them to know about the rights that they can have if they will come to Him. Galatians 3:27, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And if they don't do that, then they will not have access to the tree of life. They will not have access to the water of life. They will not have access to abundant life. They will not have access to spiritual, eternal life. Jesus said, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And God has made us free. He has redeemed us by His blood. He has allowed us to be a part of His kingdom, His body, His church. He has given us rights and privileges. He's also given us responsibilities, and we must continue to be faithful to Him. But as you consider your life and your relationship with God, if there's anything standing between you and Him tonight, I hope you'll do something about it. I hope that you'll rededicate yourself to Him. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we want to invite you to come right now if you need to, as we stand and sing.